You will notice in your bulletin this morning that I have kind of a long title to my message. Joshua chapter 7 verse 9. What then will you do for your own great name? It's a phrase from Scripture that has challenged me. It is a phrase from Scripture that has spoken to me. Sometimes when I'm reading Scripture, there's just a phrase that will jump out at me. This would be one of those phrases. And I hope I can do it justice this morning. I hope in some way I can help us to capture something, what I think the meaning of this phrase is in this passage. But before they do that, I want to just ask a question. How many of you had the opportunity to watch the movie The War Room? So there are a few that got a chance to go see it. I have to admit, I'm not up on movies, and if I was to see a movie entitled The War Room, I'm thinking I probably wouldn't want to see it. I probably wouldn't want to go watch that movie. But the movie is not what you think it really is. The movie is about a real estate agent that goes to list a house for a widow. And as they're looking and walking through the house, they come to this one closet. And it's kind of like a walk-in closet, and she says, "This is my war room," and it ends up it's her prayer room, and that's where she does the battles. And so this realtor that's listing the house, her marriage is in shambles, and there's all kinds of issues going on. And this elderly widow lady, she says, "You are fighting the wrong battle. You are not fighting this the way it should be. You need to go into your war room and fight the battle there, and that will make a difference in your marriage." And the whole story, as it turns out, she fights the battle in the war room, in the prayer room, and it brings about the victory. So I recommend the movie. I think it's done now. It's showed till October 1st, but I'm sure it'll be out on DVD shortly. But the scripture I want to read this morning is about somebody fighting a battle. They had actually lost the battle, but Joshua had to go into the war room. He had to go in before the Ark of the Covenant, and he had to fight a spiritual battle. And when he finished fighting the spiritual battle, then the battle on the battlefield changed. And so that's the context. I want to read two passages of Scripture. The first one is listed in your bulletin. The other one I will give you in a few moments. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. "But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, 'Go up and spy out the land.' And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, 'Do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few.' So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Shebarim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became like water. So now Joshua goes into the war room. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening. And he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, 'Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?' And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things that have been stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up, consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near by your tribes, and the tribe that the Lord takes by lot shall come near by clans, and the clans which the Lord takes shall come near by households, and the household that the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And he who is taken with the devoted things shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done an outrageous thing in Israel. So now I just want to draw your attention back to verses 6 to 9, and the last phrase in verse 9 is, what then will you do for your own great name? Then if you flip over to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and I'd like to draw a parallel this morning with a simple prayer, and it's hardly a prayer, it's something that Jesus spoke in the midst of a crowd. And it's in some ways very similar. In John chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven and said, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, when I am lifted from the earth, will draw all people to myself." So the phrase is, "And what will you do for your own great name?" Different translations, the NIV says, "What then will you do for your own great name?" The NLT says, "And then what will happen to the honor of your great name?" And New King James says, "Then what will you do for your great name?" The Message says, and then how will you keep up your reputation?" So God's reputation was at stake. God's glory was at stake. God's people had gone to Ai. It was a small little city. They had only sent 3,000 people. They should have easily been able to win this battle. But the people of Ai came and defeated the people of God. And now God's reputation was at stake. God had this reputation that had been built up from Egypt. He had really humbled Pharaoh of Egypt. He had revealed his great power. They had taken them through the Red Sea. 40 years through the wilderness, God had provided for them, taken them through the Jordan River. And now he had said, "You're going to go into the promised land." And they started the battle with Jericho. And here's this great walled city, and God glorified his name. God really enhanced his reputation among all the peoples, all the nations that they were going to. And God had this reputation that he could destroy even a great city like Jericho. And so the people's hearts were melted. But with Jericho, God had said, there's some devoted things, the silver and the gold and the metal, the precious metals, they belong to me. They are to go into the treasury of God. And Achan coveted, and he coveted and took. And so he hid those things in his tent. And God says, "You've taken the devoted things." Those things were devoted to the treasury of the Lord. "You have taken those things, and because of that, my people cannot fight and win this battle." So they think that this battle with Ai would be a very simple thing, and they run, they flee. This little group of people chase them away and kill 36 of them. So now Joshua has to fight a battle. Now he goes into the war room. Now he goes into the temple or the tabernacle or whatever it was there at the time, and he's falling face down in front of the Ark of the Covenant of God. He is there with the elders of the people, and he is calling out to God and saying, "God, what is going on? What has happened? Lord, what this is going to affect your reputation." And so he's complaining to God. He has this whole list of things that he's complaining to God about. And then he prays that final phrase that just somehow awakens God to an answer. It says, "What then will you do for your own great name?" God, what are you going to do that you could get some glory out of this situation? God, what are you going to do? Your reputation is at stake. And it amazes me how God just immediately starts to speak to him. God immediately says, "Okay, if that's the issue, then let's get some things moving. If that's really the thing that's most on your heart, Joshua, then we can do some business. And let me take it back now to the scripture we read in the Gospel of John. Here Jesus is troubled. He is also in anguish. Joshua was troubled. Jesus was troubled. But Jesus was troubled because he was going to be going to the cross. And he knew that was the purpose of the Father for him. And so Jesus is wrestling with this. And he comes to a place that he could say with all his heart, Father, glorify your name. May your reputation and your fame and renown be extended because of what is going to be happening. And Jesus had no longer uttered that voice, those words, Father, glorify your name, that God stepped into the situation like thunder from heaven speaks, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. And then there's the conversation that happens with the people. And Jesus says, now, from this moment on, the ruler of this world has been judged, and when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Jesus is saying, the battle is finished. A simple prayer, God, glorify your name. From this point on, the enemy has been vanquished, the enemy is defeated, and the victory belongs to the people of God. The victory belongs to God. It's just, to me, is so amazing that when we, as God's people, can pray from a surrendered heart, a heart of humility, God, glorify your name, what will God do with that? What would God do if in your defeat, in your discouragement, in your battle, you could come to a place on your face before God in humility and surrender, say, God, what will you do for your own great name? God, what is it you want to do to make your name great, to enhance your reputation, to further your plan and your work with this thing, with this circumstance that I'm battling with? God, what is it that you want to do that will honor your name through this? It's in that God begins to speak. God said to Joshua, okay, hang on here. There's a few things that need to be changed. You've taken the devoted things. And so he begins to lay out the strategy and said, okay, you need to take tribe by tribe, clan by clan, household by household, till you get to the person that has taken of the devoted things. So you can read further on, and ultimately Achan is revealed that he has taken this stuff. They go and dig up the stuff in his tent. And from that point on, God's people are again victorious. But what was it that God got God talking again? What got God talking was Joshua praying, God, what is it that you want to do to glorify your great name? What are you going to do to honor your name? Your name and your reputation is at stake. So the context of this prayer, it's prayed out of a place, I think, of anguish. Joshua is in anguish. Jesus was in anguish. For Joshua, it was a time of defeat and discouragement. But there's some positive things about this prayer as well. There's a unity. It says Joshua and the elders were on their faces before God. So it wasn't just Joshua praying. It was all of the elders, the leadership, they were on their face before God. So there's a unity. There's a sense of God wanting to do something, but there's also a sense of surrender and what I'll call patience. They stayed there till the end of the day. They stayed there till God spoke. They stayed there till God had given them an answer. I think it describes something in Joshua's heart. He had this deep desire to somehow see God glorified and honored. And I think that's the thing. If I could put that into my heart, if I could make that be part of the root of my spiritual life, and I think that's what God wants. What is the first thing He calls us to pray for in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. May Your name be glorified. May your name and reputation be enhanced. May what happens in my life today somehow glorify your name. And when that prayer is spoken from our hearts, I think God will do what he did in Joshua's day. God will do what he did in Jesus' day and says, now the prince of this world has been judged. And when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So when God is glorified, the enemy is defeated, and God draws people to himself. And God's people, whatever, in Joshua's day, the purpose was advancing advancing and taking the land that God had promised them to take. So this prayer turns defeat into victory. It turns sin and disobedience into repentance and obedience and righteousness. It takes the enemy's rule and dominion and destroys it and breaks its power and allows the kingdom of God to advance. So this prayer moved God to reveal the sin that had been covered and led to their defeat. Secondly, this prayer led them in paths of righteousness. Psalm 23 verse 3 says, he restores my soul, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Why does God lead you and me in paths of righteousness? So that his wisdom will be seen in our lives, so that he will get the glory. When we walk in disobedience and dishonor him, what happens? God's name, his reputation is diminished. He does not receive the glory from our lives. So he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he wants to lead us in paths of righteousness. Romans 2:24 says, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. So Paul is holding the Roman church to task, and he says, God's name is being blasphemed by the people around you because of how you're living. And so when we pray, God be glorified, lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, because how you and I live our lives is going to reflect either positively or negatively on God's reputation or God's character. And so the psalmist says, he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When we pray, hallowed be your name, we are saying, Father, your reputation is at stake in me today. May I live in such a way as to be a credit to your person. Others may see your character through my behavior and honor your name because of what they see of you in me. This prayer was also fueled by faith. I think Joshua says, God, what will you do? And I think to me that question was, God, I know you're going to do something because this can't stay the way it is. You want to do something. I know you will do something. And so there's a faith that is there. This prayer also involves, I think, surrender. I don't think we can, from our hearts, pray, God be glorified, till we have somehow surrendered and say, God, that's my greatest desire. That's what I want. And ultimately, that's what prayer is all about. In John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus says this, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when we ask in Jesus' name, meaning that it's consistent with who Jesus is and consistent with what Jesus wants to do in the world and wants to do in our lives, he says, when you pray in my name, he says, God will hear you and God will answer because he will be glorified. He says that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So ultimately, answered prayer will bring glory and honor to God. It needs to be our first purpose in prayer is to seek the glory of God. Let me give you an example. John chapter 17, Jesus, just before he goes to the cross, he prays this in John chapter 17, verses 1 to 5. Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you give it, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. So Jesus could honestly say, God, I glorified you. I brought you honor. I enhanced your reputation by doing what you gave me to do. And then he says, God, glorify me so that I can glorify you. That is, I think, a hard prayer to be able to pray. We can say the words, but to really say them out of that place of surrender, I think will probably get God moving more than anything else ever would. A simple prayer, Father, glorify thy name. God longs to vindicate his name. He longs to make his name known among the nations. Let me give you a few scriptures that would say that. Ezekiel 20 verse 9 says this, God speaking, he says, but I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the nations among whom you live, in whose sight I made myself known to them by bringing them out of the land of Egypt. So God says, I acted for the sake of my name. God will act for the sake of his name. Let me give you another one in Ezekiel 36 verses 22 and 23. God speaking again, and he says this, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. God says, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for my holy name. To me, that's a difference in how we pray. It's not about me. It's not even about us. It's about God's glory. It's about God's name. And when we can pray, God, what is it that you want to do for your own great name? What is it that you want to do and enhance your reputation? God, glorify your name, if I can use the words of Jesus. I think God will hear. God will answer. So when Jesus prayed that prayer, immediately God spoke from heaven. When Joshua prayed that prayer, immediately God spoke from heaven. And God clarified the situation. Repentance, he brought the repentance and the direction that they needed to go. And Jesus said, now the prince of this world has been judged. Now when I'm lifted up, all men will be drawn to me. So let me apply this to our own lives. I'm not sure what your defeat might be, what your AI defeat might be, where your life is right now in discouragement, defeat, and chaos. But if in the midst of that defeat, in the midst of that chaos, you can somehow come to a place before God, on your face before God, and say, God, I can't fix this. This is too big for me to deal with. But I ask that you would glorify and honor your name through this. I think you might be surprised what God might say to you and what God might do to turn a victory and a defeat into a place of victory, a place of discouragement into a place where he will honor and glorify his name and ultimately further his purposes in our lives. Then I would like to apply it to us as a church. When we think of right now, this is my perspective. I think right now I would say in Canada, the church is stalled. In Canada, we are not really making advances when it comes to kingdom advance. Yes, there's kingdom advance going around the world. There's incredible things happening around our world. But I would say right now in Canada, in a general sense, the kingdom advance is stalled. And I wonder how much of it is. It's about us. It's about our glory. It's not about, we could care less about God's reputation. Could we pray, God, may you be glorified in our nation. May you, O God, again reveal yourself to our nation. May you show yourself mighty and powerful, that it's not about me. It's not about my reputation. It's not about how we even look, but it's about how God looks in this whole thing. So it's a simple prayer, God, glorify your name. Or in Joshua's words, what then will you do for your own great name? God, what will you do that people again will see that you are a great and awesome God? God teaches us to pray that prayer, hallowed be thy name. Can we, in a place of surrender and humility before God, pray that prayer in whatever your life looks like. Wherever you are in life today, can you pray that prayer? Glorify your name. Let your name, your reputation be enhanced through the way I live my life, through the way I pray, through the way I interact with other people, to the way I relate in church, to the way I, whatever you fill in the blank, may you be glorified. And as we pray that, I think God will do things beyond our ability to even understand or imagine. Let's pray. Father, it's easy for us to say the words, "Hallowed be thy name." It's easy for us to say the words of Joshua and echo them, "What then will you do for your own great name?" Or even echo the words of Jesus, "Glorify your name." God, but in each of these situations, there's a battle of surrender that has to happen. That we can say, it's not about me. It's not about my reputation. It's not about even what I could benefit from this. It's about how you will receive honor and glory in our world as people look on us, look on your people. And so, God, we would simply pray this morning, lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. God, that our lives would not be reflective of an Achan who coveted the things that were devoted to God. And Lord, the ultimate devotion to God is that you get the glory. And Lord, how many times we have stolen and robbed you of the glory that you deserve. So God, this is a bit of a tough concept to preach on or to speak about and to wrap our heads around. But God, I just ask simply that you would look good through us. And God, that your reputation would be enhanced and honored among us here in this room today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.